I appreciate so very much the opportunity that I have this morning to be back here in Macedonia with you. And your kindness to me over the years, I do not have vocabulary to express my appreciation. Not only that, but for your faithfulness and your perseverance in those things that pertain to the church and the Holy Scriptures. It's always a pleasure for me to be with your good pastor, my longtime friend, Brother Guthrie, and also my longtime friend, Brother Mark Quarrell, my longtime friend, Brother Virgil Herring, and my longtime friend, Brother Joe Hayes. So it's a pleasure for me to be here, and I hope that you will pray for me. Yeah. For the time that I stand before you, because as our brother has said, that only by God's grace come our blessings. And only by God's grace do we escape the evil that is around us. So we have to be thankful this morning in both regards, and I stand before you a vessel that needs the filling of God's grace. Yeah. Call your attention this morning to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 1, and I'll read the 6 verses that embrace that chapter. Psalms, chapter 1, and the full 6 verses that are contained therein. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, when I get through this morning, much more could have been said than what I'll be able to say. But as David begins this book of Psalms, he begins it with the word blessed, and I like that.
Yeah.
Throughout all the words of the Psalms and throughout much of the Bible, over 1,300 times, the word blessed is mentioned. And here, the psalmist makes a plain statement, and it's oftentimes, I'm afraid, turned around in the wrong way. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Yeah.
Now I believe what it says. I'm obligated to believe that.
Right. Yeah.
But I want you to understand that the man that walketh in the counsel, or the advisement, and that's what that means, the teaching. The man that walks in that way, you understand this, that as that man is blessed, that man is blessed first. I hope you understand that. He's not blessed because he doesn't walk in the way of the ungodly. Now, there's an element of truth to that. But the reason that he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly is because he's blessed.
Right.
Now, that's very important.
Right.
Because from the common pulpit today, you'll hear that if you'll not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you'll be blessed. I want to tell you right now that the only reason that you do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly is because you're already blessed.
Yeah, right. Amen. Amen.
Now, you want me to prove that? I can from the words of Jesus.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 17, Peter made that great confession when men were determining who he was. And he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some said one of the prophets, some said Elijah, some said Jeremiah, some said John the Baptist, but they were all wrong. But he said, "Whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That bold apostle Peter said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Now listen to what Jesus tells. Blessed. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah.
Amen.
For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee.
That's right. Amen.
So the reason that Peter could confess is because that he was already a blessed character.
That's right. Amen.
There is not, and this is very fundamental, and the older I get, the more I stress fundamentals. But there is no self-acting principle in the nature of man to draw him to Christ to be blessed. No self-acting principle. Grace is far more than just something that is active in the natural man. It's not there. But that man that has that, that man is a blessed character, and only that blessed character can confess because he has already been blessed.
Right.
Now that's fundamental, and I'll not belabor that point, but I want you to understand what the psalmist is saying here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to tell you right now, there's a lot of ungodly counselors out there today. There's a lot of advisors out there today that's just as far from the truth as daylight from dark. And I tell you, you young folks that are here today, you better be careful what you take under advisement.
Amen.
You know, in my position, I have to tell some folks sometime if they want something and I can't do it, I have to tell them, "Well, I'll take it under advisement."
Yeah.
Usually that means I'm not going to do it. You know. But I want you to understand this, that the man that walketh not in the counsel. Now somebody said, "Well, I thought the counsel of God was always done." Well, you know, like two sides of a coin, there's oftentimes two different meanings to the word counsel. Now the Bible tells me, and Peter began to preach in that great Pentecostal sermon, he said, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye not me, but ye have taken and crucified and slain, but God raised him up." So that he should not be holden of death. Now I want to tell you, the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God delivered the Son of God to where God intended him to be. All right. But now if you'll turn to Luke chapter 7 and verse 30, you'll find out that the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God. Now, can the counsel of God be rejected? I want to tell you right now, the eternal counsel of God cannot and will not be rejected. It cannot be. The possibility does not exist. Otherwise, we don't believe what we say to do. We believe that God's eternal counsel is unchanging. Why? Because God is under oath to bring that to pass. But I want to tell you, there is a counsel of God that is revealed in the scriptures that can be rejected.
Yes.
If you doubt that, you read in Luke chapter 7, verse 30. Many of the publicans and the Pharisees were baptized of John, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God and were not baptized of John. I'll tell you right now that this tells me many things, but it tells me that the baptism of John was a legal and valid baptism because simply he says it is the counsel of God. Somebody said, well, how was the church established? I want to tell you right now, it was first established with and on the baptism of John the Baptist.
Yeah.
That's all Jesus had. That's all Jesus had was the baptism of John. And I want to tell you, that was the counsel of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel or the teachings of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I guess the reason this kindly touched me is because the other day I was preaching a funeral, and I've had several right lately, but a man told me when I got through, he said, well, Brother Ricky, I love what you old Baptists preach, and of course everybody wants you to preach the funeral when you do that, you know, and then you never hear from them again. But I'm sorry that your doctrine stands in the way of sinners. I said, well, what in the world do you mean? He said, the Bible says for us not to stand in the way of sinners. What he was saying was that this verse right here was teaching that we can hinder sinners from being saved. We stand in their way. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, me or you or anybody else never stood in the way of salvation of a sinner. Amen? Never stood in the way of a salvation of the sinner. But I'll tell you what he is saying here, that we are not to travel in their path.
Amen.
You see? We are not to stand in that way or in that pathway that they stand in. And when he says sinners here, he's talking about the unregenerate. He's not talking about children of God. He's talking about the unregenerate. And then he says, nor sit at the seat of the scornful. And I'm going to prove to you that's what he's talking about in just a minute. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, who is it? The blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, that principle, that rule of action. You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 7:22? He said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
Yeah.
I delight in that. Go with me to the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms chapter 119, beginning with verse 24. He said, my testimonies, thy testimonies, are also my delight and my counselor.
Amen.
Notice what he says. Turn on over here to verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. What a statement. The law of my mouth, thy mouth, is better unto me than thousands of gold or silver. Verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Verse 92 says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. 97, oh how I love thy law. And listen, there is an exclamation point at the end of that phrase.
Yes.
It is my meditation day and night. It is my meditation all the day. And one more in verse 174. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Now, I don't have to give you all those scriptures to prove to you that the testimonies of God, that there is a delight in it. There, a testimony in that law, that rule of principle that dwells in the heart of the individual. There's something there that changes the sinner, because there's no self-acting principle that would bring him to Christ. But I say this today, where there is no grace, there is no change. And where there is no change, there is no grace. I affirm to you today that when God comes into a man's life and draws him to him, there's a change made in him.
Amen.
There's a change made. There's something done for him that he can't do for himself. I'll tell you today, I know people today, and maybe you do too. I can't see what's in the heart, but I'll tell you right now that God can and does. But I know people today who one time lived a life of sin, who one time lived and rejoiced in the things of the ungodly. But I'll tell you, they had no conscience to condemn them. But there came a time in their life when they began to see themselves for what they really were, and then they began to see God for what he really was, and then before God's presence they began to see that they were helpless, poor, and condemned in their own right, and that their only expectation of anything better was through and by the amazing grace of God. I want to tell you, my friend, these testimonies are incontestable. They are indestructible, and not only that, they are indispensable for the child of God. Today, the gospel word ought to be preached. It ought to be preached in power. Why? Because that's God's ordained means of building his church, the preaching of the gospel. We can do without singing. We can. As good as I like to sing. Do you know the church can do without singing? It can. But I want to tell you right now, it cannot exist without the preaching of the gospel. It cannot exist without the preaching of the gospel. Now I'll tell you today that when the Bible tells us this, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He is like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. You see, there's stability in that. There's stability in what is being said here. He's like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want you to go with me to Joshua chapter 1, and I believe about verse 8, and listen to what he says here. Now God has appeared unto Moses. He's taught him. They've come across into the land of Canaan. And in verse 6 he says, be strong and be of good courage. And then he comes on down here to verse 8, and he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I affirm to you today, my friend, that God commanded his people under the Old Testament to follow in that law. He commanded his people under the Old Covenant to follow in that and meditate in it day and night, but they fail miserably in doing so. But I'll tell you right now, when we come to this part of our life and we're able to see that those who are blessed, that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, I'll tell you, he's like the tree that was planted by the waters. Like the tree that's planted by the waters. Its roots goes out. There's stability there. And then there are others that's got what I call jellyfish religion. You get that? Jellyfish religion. You know, you can go down to the seaside, go out in the ocean, and all of a sudden you might see something that looks like a transparent umbrella.
Yeah.
You know what it's called? A jellyfish. You can get it out on the bank, it's just a blob.
Yeah.
You know why? There's no structure to it. Nothing there. But it can be harmful. It can sting.
Yeah.
It can be harmful. It doesn't look very harmful, but it is. It can be harmful to you. It really can. To somebody with some kind of an allergic condition, it can be fatal to them. I want you to understand that. But jellyfish religion,
yeah,
and there are plenty of God's children who have jellyfish religion.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Amen.
The ungodly doesn't have any at all. They're happy with anything. But I want to tell you one thing. There are plenty of God's children that have no structure.
Yeah.
You know, again, you know, you hear these men preach that, well, just anything's all right. Just believe, just as long as you're honest about it, it's all right. Mm. And I want to tell you one thing. You can disagree with me on this if you want to, and that's all right. I love you just the same. Nothing to get really upset about, but I want to tell you one thing. I'll give you a right to be wrong, all right? You know, I'll give you a right to be wrong. That's right. But I want to tell you, he talks about a man here that doesn't have jellyfish religion.
Right.
He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You mean, preacher, if I just get and be faithful to church, everything I'm going to do is prosper? Now, you've got more sense than that. You know better than that. I've had more trouble since I've been to church than I've had in my life. Amen?
Amen.
That's the truth. Thank you. I'll tell you right now, I know people that's had more trouble since they've been to church than you can count on your fingers and toes. And some the ungodly have seemed to prosper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't make sense out of that. That's above my pay grade, I want to tell you. It really is. But I want to tell you right now, prospering doesn't mean every time being a winner in the eyes of men. You look at the Lord Jesus when he came to his last days. Brother David, what do you think the world said about him? He's a real winner. No. No, the last woman he talked to was a woman of ill repute. He was poor. He himself, in the profound recesses of his mind, no doubt as a man, he suffered and bled and died just like a man. And yet men looked at him, they spit on him. Get him out of our presence. That's what spitting on somebody meant in that day. They spit in his face.
Yeah.
Go back to the book of Ruth and see what that talks about. That woman could spit in a man's face and say, that meant, get him out of our presence. Well, that's what they did. They spit in his face. Get him out of our presence. He's nothing but an imposter. He eats with sinners. He's nothing but an imposter. But there our blessed Lord was, hanging on the cross. Men looked at him, and even the disciples had in their mind, well, he's fake. I'll prove that to you from Luke 24, Brother Virgil. Those two men, he met them on the road to Damascus, and he knew what was in their hearts. And he said, why do these thoughts arise in your heart? He said, they said, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem and dost not know what has befallen us in this last days? Well, we thought this was Jesus of Nazareth, the promised Son of God, yet it's the third day and he's not risen from the dead. And you know what? He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have written of me. And then he began in Moses and the Psalms and the Scriptures, and he began to relate to them all things that were contained therein concerning him. Yes, sir. And I want to tell you one thing. You say, were they like trees planted by the water? Not all the time? No. But I want to tell you, there's some parts of our lives that go, there's some parts of our lives that become
very unstable at times, and yet there are other times when God blesses us to see Him in His glory.
Yes.
And to see Him as the redemptive purpose of God personified.
Yes, amen.
And we can look upon Him and say, here's the reason I'm a blessed character.
Yes.
I'm a blessed character. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to tell you right now, you don't want to take their advice. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. No, not in their avenue.
No.
Of the ungodly. And the man that's void of the grace of God. There's nothing there for you. No, sir. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. It's easy to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
It's easy to do that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That man that can do that, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Are you a winner today? What does it mean to be a winner? You young folks that are here today, let me tell you. You're not going to make a lot of friends and influence a lot of people by being Primitive Baptist. I don't want to discourage you, but I'm just telling you that's the way it is. But I'm going to tell you one thing, what you will do, you'll please God in that behalf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'll please God in that behalf. And I'll tell you, you're a winner.
Yeah.
You're prosperous.
Amen.
And thank God for that precious promise. The ungodly are not so. Do you hear what that says? The ungodly are not so. Well, how are they? Like the chaff which the wind drives away. That's what the ungodly are like. Now, here comes the question. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Well, our article plainly says we believe that in a general judgment that all men shall stand before God.
Amen.
And be judged. I want to tell you, I believe that.
Amen.
I believe that you'll be judged. I believe the ungodly will be judged.
Right.
They'll be judged guilty.
Right.
Because they stand guilty. Not because of what they did, but because of what Adam did. God passed by him. You know what that's called? The doctrine of preterition.
Yeah.
Don't that do something for him? The doctrine of preterition. God passed by, and he was perfectly just in doing so.
Yeah, right.
There's not one thing he knew that God needed. No. There's not one thing he knew that God saw that was good. But God chose you, not out of the fallen race of Adam. I've heard some of our brothers say, out of the fallen race of Adam, God chose. God didn't choose anybody out of the fallen race of Adam. He chose them before they fell.
Yeah.
He chose them before they fell.
Amen.
Election's not a result of the fall. But election is God's purpose before the world began, forever a creature ever graced the earth.
Amen.
God chose his own. Now the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Well, preacher, you just got through saying they would. I want to tell you, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I want to tell you, the ungodly will not stand in the same judgment the righteous does. That's what he's talking about. He explains it to you in the next phrase. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They're not going to be judged on the righteousness of Christ. They'll be judged on the guilt and condemnation that they have been in. Judged guilty according to their works.
Yes.
You see?
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. You'll be judged on the righteousness of Christ.
Right. Amen.
And thank God, my friend, you ain't going to have to wait till you get to heaven to become a child of God. You're a child of God now.
That's right.
You're judged righteous now. But in a legal way, it'll be done at the last day.
Yeah.
At the last day, The judgment shall come. The last day, the judgment shall come. But the ungodly won't stand in the judgment like the righteous. The righteous will be judged on the righteousness of Christ. The ungodly shall be judged because they stand guilty before God, and they have proved their guiltiness.
Yeah.
Now the Bible teaches us here, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, not in the same judgment that the righteous does, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. No. You remember the Bible says, let's get this, because it's going to help you explain this a little more. We know it. Now, what? John chapter 9? We know it that God hears not, what? Sinners. Well, if he don't hear sinners, me and you in trouble, aren't we? God hears not sinners. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about this, that the ungodly, those who are void of the grace of God, God doesn't hear their prayer. You hear that? But I want to tell you, if you're a sinner saved by grace, and God hears your prayer. That's what he's saying. We have to be careful with that. We have to be careful with that. Because God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. He doesn't hear the prayer of the unregenerate. What does he say? He doesn't hear the prayer of the unregenerate because he can't pray the prayer. You ever heard somebody said, pray the prayer? Man said, I prayed that prayer a long time ago. What'd you pray? Well, I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want you to come into my heart. Let me tell you right now, you didn't have to pray that prayer. But I want to tell you the reason you prayed it, because you was a blessed character. Amen.
Yeah.
You're the blessed character. You're the blessed character. God came to where you were. No wonder the Bible could say this in Jesus, the words of Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. How does he come? I'll tell you how he comes. He obeys with an obedience that is above and beyond the ability of that man to perform.
Yeah.
And he's passive in that obedience.
Yeah.
It's not him that self-acting, but he is passive in that obedience. When you come, why did you come to Christ? You know, why did you come to Christ? I may have said it here, and I want to tell you, Brother Darty said one time he'd been vaccinated and don't know it. Amen. Been vaccinated and don't know. You know, I've got two vaccinations right here lately. I'm supposed to be over with the COVID. I've got two vaccinations. I didn't particularly care for it, but I'm going to tell you, I knew it. Bless God. Yes, sir. God, I had a fever at one time and a chills the next, but I got over it. But there's some people in this world that they've been vaccinated and don't know it. They've been touched by the grace of God and they don't know why. They're blessed characters and they think that they've brought God under obligation to them for some reason or another. I got news for you, my friend. God's not obligated to do one thing for you. If God would have doomed us and damned us all in hell, he'd have been just and right in doing so.
Yeah.
He'd have been just and right in doing so.
Yeah.
I want to tell you one thing. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They're not going to stand in the judgment you will. Oh, they'll be judged all right. But I want to tell you right now, the Bible says this in Revelation chapter 20. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Now, I'll tell you right now, there's all sorts of schools of thought. But I want to tell you right now, you had a part with Christ before the world was. You had a part with Christ when he went to the cross. You had a part with Christ when he suffered. You had a part with him when he died. Bless God, you had a part with him when they put him in the tomb. And the glorious part of is that you have a part with him in that resurrection when he arose from the dead and ascended back to the Father. And the Bible said he was the first to be raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. The first to be raised from the dead. Now, you and I know he wasn't the first to be raised from the dead. There was Lazarus and Jairus' daughter, but I'm going to tell you right now, they all died again. But I'll tell you one thing, that when Jesus arose, he arose never to die again. And now he stands between us and a holy God. And the Bible says here that for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Yes, he does. For the way of the ungodly shall perish. You hear what he says here? The way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, I don't want to stand on the banks and know hellism. And, you know, somebody said, well, you know, the children of God act ungodly. They do. Sure, children of God do some ungodly things. I know that. But I want to tell you right now, I don't have to tell somebody when I do something wrong. You know, I don't have to write it down on a piece of paper. I got something in the back of my mind. I said, brother, this ain't right. This ain't right. Children, I want y'all to listen to me a minute. When your mother and daddy tell you to do something, do you know what you're going to be? When you obey their voice, you're a blessing to them, a blessing to others, and it shows you to be a fruitful child of God.
Amen.
You know, when I joined the church, Joe, you remember, you had to be 25 years old and tell some rigmarole long as you're here to Birmingham to get in.
Yeah.
I know people right now who are not in the church because they were discouraged by their parents because they were not old enough.
Right.
Don't tell me that's not so. I know. Let me tell you something, children. Let me tell you something, parents. Don't you ever discourage your child from joining the church.
Amen.
I don't care whether he's 5 or 45.
Right.
You don't know what's in his heart. You don't know how he's blessed, but he may feel something that you can't see.
That's right.
Blessed is the man. Blessed. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I affirm to you today, that I look forward to a time when we together can be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. My delight is in that law. And yet on the other hand, I see on every side, it seems like our country is going to hell in a handbasket. I want you to understand today that there's a God in heaven that said, I am in charge.
Yeah.
There's a God in heaven today that rules and super rules and overrules.
Amen.
The wicked may prosper for a season, but I'm going to tell you, he's a defeated foe.
Amen.
The devil is a defeated foe. He's on every side. And he has a good time. He'll give you trouble while you're here. And there's a class of people out there called the wicked. They have no changes, according to Psalms 55 and 19. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. There's a class of people out there that walk in that way. They're satisfied in that way. And they themselves will continue in that way unless God himself delivers from that bondage that they are in. And I affirm to you today, my friend, if you're in the family of God and believe in that superpower, not the Super Bowl, but the superpower, that there is that wonderful experience that we have of believing that we're blessed characters, that we'll be judged on the righteousness of Christ, and I'll lay my case before him.
Yeah.
And trust him who judgeth all things right.
Amen.
Thank you, and may God bless you, brother.
Amen.